Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the blessing on the preaching of your word, and we thank you for the blessing on the word that is not just words on the page, God, but your word that is alive and powerful, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. These days, you know, we've got a lot of internet is amazing. You know, just Google something, how to do this or how to do that. There's always either a YouTube video or, you know, some guy that's got an opinion about it. You know, so it's amazing what you can accomplish these days on with Google and the internet. And but even if we think around, you know, motivational speakers or people that talk, you know, write self-help books and that kind of thing, there's a lot of things, a lot of these encouraging statements. And I actually Googled a little bit, and some of them are very funny, and not funny, but you know, just a bit cheesy, you know. But if you Google or like one of some of these statements, like I Googled, for instance, I said everything is possible. I just Googled that, and I went to images, you know, and it shows these little, look, beautiful pictures, those that you get on your email that people pass on, you know. And then a couple of them, one says everything is possible through self-discipline. I can't remember all the quotes. There are lots of quotes. You know, everything is possible through self-discipline. Somebody else said everything is possible if you put your mind to it. And there's another one that I picked up. It says when nothing is sure, everything is possible. I thought, my goodness, you know, this is a hectic one. So praise the Lord. We're not starting from that point. Okay, we're not in a position where nothing is sure. Okay, praise God. We have a position where something is very sure, and that is who God is, okay? But I looked at a few more, and we can put a lot in there if you think about it. Everything is possible for somebody who obeys God. We can even go very spiritual, somebody that has a perfect life or somebody that obeys the law. Everything is possible for somebody that really works hard and applies himself, you know, puts his mind to it. Anything or everything is possible to somebody who, you know, who's... who prays 5 hours a day. You know, we can put a lot of stuff in there. But one of the keys that I wanted us to point right from the start here is that when Jesus encourages this father, he doesn't come close to anything that has to do with his performance as a dad or as a believer. Can you see that? He doesn't say, you know, everything is possible if you spend at least 5 hours in prayer every day. He doesn't say everything is possible if you do all 3 years of Bible school and you go to small group every week. You know, he doesn't say everything is possible for those who go to church every Sunday. He says only this thing. He says everything is possible for one who believes. No strings attached, no... this is what you must do. This is the step, 5 steps to success. And this freaks us out. It freaks our society out because we've been conditioned that if you do this and this, or if you earn this amount, or if you put this in, you're going to be successful. And even amongst Christians, you might have heard this thing. It says people say God helps those who help themselves. How ridiculous is that? In other words, depending on your... it's kind of matching the donation. So depending on your effort, God says, okay, because you've put in that effort, I'm going to put in this effort. Guys, that's nonsense. Okay? Let's just go on to the next one before I carry on. But I'm going to come back to this. But it says there, I do believe. And immediately he proclaims it, I believe. But then he recognizes also, and he says, Lord, help my unbelief. There's a part of me. There's a thing that I'm still wrestling through. There's a part of me. I've seen this boy from from childhood. In other words, as long as I've known this child, he's been like this. In other words, there's a part of him is saying, there's a part of me that's doubting, and Jesus is not intimidated by that. The boy gets delivered. The boy gets completely healed and delivered in a powerful way. Let's just quickly look at the next one. Luke chapter 8:49 to 50. While he was still speaking, okay, so what happened here is, just to context quickly, Jesus comes off the boat. There's a dad there that meets him, the ruler of the synagogue, and he says to him, my daughter is very ill. Could you please come and pray for her? And he says, no problem. And they're on their way, and they're pressing through a crowd of people. And that's when that thing happens, where the lady with the issue of blood touches, you know, presses into Christ and just touches the hem of his garment. She gets healed. So there's a moment there that happens. It's an amazing thing, and, you know, you please go read it. It's really powerful. But just after this, so they're still on their way to the ruler's house when somebody comes in with the bad news and says, guys, it's too late. Please don't bother Jesus anymore because the girl's already dead. So let's just see verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. And we saw, so again, he says, okay, he recognizes dad is going to panic now. And he says, do not be afraid. Only thing you must do now is believe. Only believe. And she will be made well. And he went there, and as they reached the house, people were mourning and crying. And he just said to them, don't stress, don't panic, she's only sleeping. And some people ridiculed him, some, you know, mocked him, and, you know, kind of said, you know, obviously this guy is deceived. But then he called her name and he took her by the hand, and she was fine, completely, basically, you know, raised from the dead. And again, here there's a key here. It says, "Do not be afraid," and it says, "Only believe." Now I'm quickly going to deal with these two at the beginning here. The previous one, the guy says, "Help my unbelief." Now, unbelief and fear are two of the great obstacles that we have of doing this one thing that Christ says here, of actually believing and walking in faith. And I said this the other day, I want to say it again. Most of the time, when we're facing a challenge, or we're facing an obstacle, or we're facing a difficult situation, or we're facing an impossible situation, my unbelief or our hopelessness or our fear about that situation is more of a problem than the actual situation. So if I'm hopeless about something, my hopelessness is the problem, is the big problem, because I'm giving God nothing to work with. There's no belief in my heart. If I'm in unbelief, then that unbelief is a bigger problem than the actual problem. And that's why it's so important for us to actually, like this guy says, Lord, I help my unbelief. In other words, I confess it and I deal with it, but he does actually declare that he believes as well. That's why it's so important for us to declare that we do believe, to declare over the situation, and to recognize that our fear or anxiety or our stress or our unbelief about a problem is actually a massive problem, and to bring that before God and to trust him to deliver us from that. Now, big shift that we need to make here is that we've been conditioned to say, if you follow these steps, then, you know, you will have success. So if you live in this way, then there's going to be a certain result. And so I want us to look a little bit at how the kingdom of God works in this respect, because it's not that way around. If we look at this whole thing of saying everything is possible to him who believes, how does that work in our daily lives? How does it work in our daily walk? Let's quickly look at, actually, just let the next example from Matthew 9:27. And Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, this is actually just after the previous occurrence in a different gospel. followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. They proclaimed it, they declared it, and they responded to his question. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And then something quite funny happens. I don't know if it's just me that finds it funny. I've got a peculiar sense of humor. But then Jesus tells them, this has nothing to do with the message, okay? But Jesus tells them, don't tell anybody. I thought it was quite funny. How if you've been blind all your life, and now you see, how can you hide that? Anyway, that's funny. They didn't listen. They just went and told everybody. But if you've been blind all your life, surely somebody's going to notice. But anyway, praise God. But now we see something here. Do you believe? And they say, yes. So we believe. And then what they believe happens. In other words, according to what you believe, it's going to be unto you. And this is the kind of way we need to switch things around, because so often, how often do we approach life in the fact that this is what I see and that shapes how I think and how I believe and what's going on in my thoughts and what's going on in my heart. So I face a certain challenge, I face a certain situation or a problem, and that determines either if I'm feeling good or if I'm feeling if I'm feeling depressed, or that determines how I feel sometimes about myself, about my situation. According to what Jesus says, it's the other way around. So he says, what's happening in your heart is very important. What's happening in your mind and your thoughts is very important. What you believe is going to shape your life, is going to shape your environment. Okay? Not the other way around. And how often do we do it the other way around? And we see something, we see circumstances, and we're realistic, okay? So we just be real. Just be real about this. Okay, so these are the facts. Somebody's ill. A friend of ours has got cancer now. So that's the facts. The facts are she's receiving chemotherapy. And it's difficult for us to look at the facts and to still declare the truth over the situation, because the facts and the truth are not always the same. And this is a difficult one, right? So the question we ask ourselves, what do you believe? How do we change what we believe about our world? Because we need to make sure what we believe in our heart is what God's word says, okay? Because once we line ourselves up with the word of God and the promise of God, our belief and what we have in our heart is going to shape not only our lives, but it's going to shape the world around us. Amen. Are you with me? So we see this here. He says, according to your faith, it's going to be unto you. In other words, what's happening in your heart, that's what's going to manifest. That's what's going to happen. So we need to make sure that what's happening in our hearts and what we believe is biblical and godly, because that's what's going to be manifested. Are you with me? Even in Job's example. Okay, now Job is quite an extreme example, but if you want to go and read, it's quite heavy. But Job faces ridiculous things in his life, right? He starts off with an amazing life, and then he goes through this ridiculous season where everything, extreme stuff goes wrong. And many times people, look at Job and think, oh, the poor guy, because nothing was his fault, and he did everything right, and he was such a great believer, and it's all true. But there's one key that we are left with right at the end, where Scripture says that the thing that Job feared the most is what happened in his life. So we recognize that actually the challenge with him was that there was a fear there that was in his heart about something. And that thing that he feared was actually the thing that happened in the end. So, but let's not get stuck on with Job now. Okay. So we are trained, if you do this and this and this, stuff is going to work out. But if we look at the biblical pattern, what we believe is more important than what we actually do often. Obviously, what we believe will flow over into our actions. It has to. But what we believe about something is more important, because that comes before that walking in what we believe in, acting on it. It has to be right. It has to be in our heart and has to be in our minds. Amen. So that's where it starts. What's in my mind? What's in my heart? And how is that actually manifesting in the world around me? Let's look at Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Some translations, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay, now again, there it is. It's not the other way around. Not like as a man experiences that shapes him. No, it's what is in the inside. What's happening on the inside that shapes who you and I, who we actually are. And there's quite a few questions we can ask around this. One, for instance, is, what do we believe about ourselves? What does the scripture say about ourselves? What is in my heart? What is in my heart and my thoughts about who I am in Christ? Because often that's where it starts, you know, the battle of, am I going to believe God's word for me? Am I going to walk in what he's telling me? Am I going to walk in faith, or am I going to walk by sight? Okay. Now, the question here is your identity shaped by your past, or is it shaped by the word of God and the truth of God about you, who you are? And this is something a lot of people struggle with. You know, the enemy, he's called the accuser of the brethren, he's called the father of lies, and that's his job. He continually wants to keep us bound to the stuff from the past. He continually wants to tell you who you are based on where you come from and what you've achieved, or what you've not achieved. So either in a way where you think, I've done such great things, I'm like amazing, I've done all this stuff in my life, like, and then you get all puffed up because of some things you've managed, or on the other extreme, you get all depressed because of the failures and the stuff that has gone wrong in your past. Now, if you had to take this into think about it around a baby, say a baby of 6 months, right? I told you about Abigail when she prayed for David because he couldn't walk. Right, so now he couldn't walk. Now he can walk, praise the Lord, so he's healed. But so if you think of a baby of 6 months, if that baby had to base their identity and their future on their past, it wouldn't be a very good picture, right? Can't speak, can't talk, poos a lot, okay, eats a lot as well, or drinks. So that's not an exciting picture. I mean, it's just if this baby is going to do everything in life based on who they are in those first 6 months, okay, you get the picture. But still, we do the same. We base our thought life about who we are and our beliefs about who we are, we often base that on what's happened in the past. And Christ said, Paul says, I leave that stuff behind. I press forward. Okay? So we have to get it the right way around. Our identity in Christ is what shapes who we are and what determines where we go. It steers us. Amen? Now, another question is a similar one. Is your identity shaped by your experience that you experience around you, the experiences and what you have experienced, what you're experiencing now? Or is it the other way around? Or is your experience shaped by who you are in Christ? Okay, now this comes back to the other thing. Who you are in Christ, what you believe about Him, what you believe about God, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that it shapes our experience and not the other way around. Let's just get practical around that a bit. Okay, let's think of an apple tree. Or I grew up with my parents that we live on I suppose in the UK it would qualify as a farm. I live on a farm, a small holding, and I had a couple of fruit trees, like a bit of an orchard there on the one side. And in spring and summer, it's beautiful. You know, you've got the buds, and then you've got the fruit coming out, and it's amazing. It's just fruit all over the place, and you can just go and walk down there and pick some and avoid the worms and eat some really amazing fruit. In winter, is nothing going on. In winter, those trees look literally dead, right? There are no leaves. They actually look very dry. There's no sign of life even. It's a very bleak picture. Okay. But if that peach tree or whatever, if that could speak and you ask and it would say that I'm no longer a peach tree now, the nature of the tree is still the same. Although there's nothing visible. There's nothing visible. I think that's the thing we need to shift in our minds, that we see the Word of God saying amazing stuff about us, right? And the more you read that, the better. Okay, so go and read that stuff that Scripture says about who you are in Christ and who I am in Christ. So how often do we read it and we think, that sounds amazing, but it's not the truth. We think, yes, you know what? If I have to be really honest, it's not real. It's not there yet, you know. I read, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. You are, you know, you will do greater things. Jesus says, these things and greater things you're going to do. You know, and we look at our lives and, yeah, that's amazing, but I don't see it now. And that's where the challenge comes in. That's a bit of a faith crisis comes in, because we read the Scripture and it's often... I know some of you read the Scripture and you think, like, you just tick the boxes. Yeah, yes, this is the, for real. You know, this is happening. So I'm not talking about you now. It's just sometimes we look at the Scripture and we look at our lives, we're thinking, this is not lining up right now. Amen? At least for me, sometimes happens. And the challenge there is to not do the apple tree thing when you're in the winter and you're thinking, my goodness, I'm no longer an apple tree now. Okay, the reality is to think, although I cannot see the fruit now, this is the truth. I am a son of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the co-heir with Christ. Everything is possible before me because I believe. So even when it's winter, even when there's no fruit, even when the tree looks dead, when it seems like there's nothing going on, it doesn't change the truth about that tree. I want to say to you guys, what we allow in our hearts, what we, the thoughts and the truths or the lies of the enemy we allow in our hearts, shape the way you live. It shapes what you say. And your words can either steer you, our tongue, you know, death, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Words can either steer us into God's purposes, into His promise, into His will, or they become a curse that fences us, puts fences up around us, and limits what anything, our potential in God. So watch what's on your tongue. Let's quickly say, look what Luke says about that in chapter 6:43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So that's my next question, is what is your heart full of? What fills your heart and your mind? Are you continually filling your heart with the negatives? Are you continually focusing on the things that are not there? Are you continually stressing or getting depressed about stuff that you lack or that you haven't yet got or that you don't see, or the glass half full or half empty? That, you know, are you focusing on the negatives? Are you continually meditating on those things? Are you allowing the enemy to remind you of your past and dwelling on that stuff? Because he will try, guys. Let me just guarantee that for you. This is the bad news of this morning. He will try. He will try to have you focus. And he wants to put you in a dark hole where the only thing you can remember is where you come from and the negativity or whatever negatives in your life. He wants you to look at that. But what are you allowing in your heart? What, you know, I must remember, guys, the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren, that's his job, okay? That's his full-time job. He's very good at it. He's been at it for thousands of years. You can't beat him, right? He's been defeated, but you can't avoid that bit, right? But what you can do is either receive it or not. Okay. And so I'm asking, what is your heart full of? What is, and because what happens from that is, that determines what your confession is. What the heart, the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of. And that, and our words are the, what steer us, or what shape us, and what direct us. Now, I've often found, now think about this, okay? I've found myself, the enemy throws in a thought, and if you don't recognize it immediately, it just kind of mulls around, yeah? And then you think stuff about yourself or about your situation or about somebody else. But sometimes, I mean, when you're obviously wrestling through a challenge, it's often directed at your faith. So are you able to handle it, or are you able, you know, what are you able to do, or what are you, who are you in the situation? And how often do we allow the enemy to tell us lies about ourselves? And one of the ways that I want us to identify these lies is, firstly, every thought, guys, that does not inspire hope and inspire faith, I can guarantee it's not from God. God, in His very essence, inspires hope. Every word that comes from, we eat, the scripture says we can live from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, right? So that stuff, God, what God speaks to us is nourishing. It is upbuilding. It is encouraging. Even if it is correction, it draws us to Him, right? Because even in God's correction, it's out of love, and it still inspires hope. But how often do we allow the enemy to tell us, like this Steve Buckland, I'm going to read some of his quotes just now. Yeah, he said the other day, sometimes the devil says to you, you know what, I think, you know, God overestimated you in this situation. I don't know if you're the right guy for this thing. Don't stress, you know. There may be another, but not, you know, this thing is too big for you. Because often he doesn't always come with the worst of the worst. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's little things. You know what? Not everybody is going to be a good dad. Not everybody is naturally a good dad. You think, maybe I'm not such a good parent after all. And you allow that thing. But what I want to say is, be careful of those subtle ones, because they, you just think, I'm just being real. It's just, you know, let's just be real. But how do you discern? Okay, so one of them is obviously if it doesn't inspire hope and if it doesn't inspire faith. But another one is, if you allow something in your heart, something like this, like, maybe God overestimated you. Just think, would you encourage somebody else with that? If you were counseling somebody, okay, and somebody comes for you and they've got a challenge and you're counseling them, sometimes you would never say that to somebody. You're with me. You know what, not everybody can be a good parent. Seriously. So don't stress about it. Maybe you're just not naturally a good parent. You'll never ever tell that to somebody. Or, you know what, actually, God probably overestimated you in this one. You won't tell that to them. Are you with me? But yet we allow that thing in our hearts, and we allow that lie in our hearts about ourselves, but we will never dream of saying it to somebody else. Okay? So watch out for those. That's absolute nonsense that the enemy throws at us. And we just hang, that thing gets stuck in our minds if we don't take it captive, and it stays there, and suddenly, next week, we believe it. And then we get to that thing again. I believe it. You know what? I'm not a great dad. I'm like a third-rate dad. So, and guess what, guys? That's going to shape you. It's going to shape you. It's going to push you in a direction, because it's going to start coming out of your mouth. And next thing, it's going to happen. Amen? But the other way is also true. So when I recognize, you know what, I'm not the best dad in the world right now. This winter, there's no fruit now, whatever the situation is. Or I'm facing this challenge at work, and the enemy wants to tell me that God has overestimated me, but that's rubbish. God has put everything in me that I need for this situation. He's provided an abundance for every good work. And then I go to Scripture and I go say, what does the Word say about me? And then I'm going to start declaring it over the situation. Maybe there's just dead bones in my situation right now. Then I start to start prophesying life like Ezekiel had to do. Prophesy life over the dead bones until they rise up as a mighty army. Because there was nothing. And did you remember Ezekiel's response? God asked him, can I read it again? He asked, you just see this valley of dead bones. And God asked him, Ezekiel, you know, can these bones live? And he's not silly. He's not stupid. He knows how to answer. He says, God, you know. So he doesn't want to risk a response there. And then God commands him to prophesy life. Guys, I believe this is a season for us to prophesy life, to speak life, to declare the Scripture. I'm not talking about wishful thinking here. I'm not talking about not recognizing the reality of a situation. I'm saying, whatever you do, speak the Word of God in faith over your situation. And declare the truth over your own life until you see the fruit manifest, guys. This is what faith looks like. It's when we say something and we believe something in our heart before we can see it, guys. This is what faith means. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. So I believe and I know the Scripture says everyone has been given a measure of faith. And that doesn't mean, I've only got a little. No, that's nonsense, guys. With the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Everyone has been given what we need to be absolutely victorious as Christians. And in Christ. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Okay. So be careful of focusing on the negatives too much. Be careful of just envelop and watch out for the people that are around you. Guys, sometimes there's some, you know, some of our friends, bless them, you know, they have a way of, you know, just seeing every negative thing. And I don't know, I trust you don't. Nobody like that here this morning, praise God. But, you know, some friends, I don't know, some friends, you pick up the phone, you talk to them, and you put the phone on, you feel tired. You're like, yo, that was rough, eh? You're like, I need a drink. No, just kidding. You know, you just feel, you need to pray now or something, because this was heavy. Firstly, guys, let's not be that person, okay? But secondly, if you're in a place where you need to be prophesying life, maybe send them an email or something. Let's avoid those heavy conversations for a while so that you can teach your heart and teach yourself to be meditating on what is good, meditating on what is true, meditating on the Word, meditating on what God says about the situation, okay? Let's just say some good stuff over ourselves, okay? We're going to practice. Maybe you should stand in front of the mirror in the morning and say some of these things. Look yourself in the eye. Okay, let's do this one. I am everything who God says I am. I am everything who God says I am. Or just basically, I am who God says I am. Or you can say, I have everything the Bible says I have. Jeez, guys, you know, you've said that's powerful stuff. If you go and read what Scripture says about you, you're gonna walk out here like, wow. You know, you're gonna. But the reality is, we need to be saying these things. We need to be confessing these things, even over each other. I want to encourage you. I believe God is stirring up the gift of prophecy in this church. And that doesn't mean we're going to stand on a soapbox in the street here and scream at people, okay? It means you're going to have opportunities to speak life and prophesy life over your friends in small group, over people around you. I believe there's a grace for that, guys. I wanted you to go full out into it. And with grace that we get it wrong, okay? There's grace for that. So don't stress. But go for it. I mean, speak life, prophesy life of each other. Now, the person who says, I can, in a situation. And the person that says, I can't, are both right. You know that? Guys, so watch what the enemy puts in your heart. If I'm facing a situation, and at the moment I think, yes, you know, it's never going to happen. Like, remember the guy we spoke about 2 weeks ago? The word of the Lord came through the prophet, and he says, this is what's going to happen by lunch, midday tomorrow. And that guy just says, no way, it's never going to happen. That's dangerous, okay? Don't go that side. Don't oppose the promises of God. Don't say, you know what, I'm probably not the righteousness of God in Christ. Don't even go there. That's going to get you killed. Amen. Okay, let's just look at these quotes from Steve. All believers must learn the habit of inwardly redirecting thoughts toward faith, hope, and love, and away from the lies that create hopelessness, fear, selfishness, and ungodly priorities. Okay, so it's a discipline to take our thoughts and redirecting them away from that negative stuff that cause hopelessness and fear, etc., and toward faith, hope, and love. Guys, if you find yourself dwelling onto the heavy things, you know, and your day gets heavier and heavier, and by the time you go home, you're like walking like this, then you need to say, no, I need to make a shift here. I've had that happen, guys. There's sometimes, you know, in ministry, often we deal with people's problems, right? Problem solving, hallelujah. No, but so what a joy. No, so it's easy sometimes, you know. So that I found myself, even little things, just steal the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Maybe I'll preach on that another time. But it's little things that take us from being joyful in God, because that is our strength. And little thing happens, and then suddenly I'm like, oh man, not that thing again. And you allow that to just bring you into a place of discouragement. That's nonsense. Even, or maybe that guy that, you know, cuts you off in traffic, or maybe you've got a blessing of a colleague that swears at you every day. I don't know what your situation is, but don't allow those little stupid things to take your joy and to bring you into a place of hopelessness or discouragement or even anger. I mean, that's what the evil, he just wants to get you off track. And then you're like, oh, this day is messed up. Don't go there. Redirect. Amen? And if that means you need to go to the bathroom for 5 minutes and just go and praise God, or just pray in the Spirit, or go walk around the block for 10 minutes and pray in the Spirit, then do that. Amen? What we believe is the determining factor of whether our lives move forward or backwards. We can have a super Christian pray for us, but ultimately our own beliefs are the key to spiritual advancement. So talking about growing in Christ, talking about moving forward in a walk with God, often we have this thing, if that anointed person can just pray for me, or if that super prophet can just lay hands on me, I'm going to be different. Maybe yes, but what he's saying is that what we allow in our hearts, what I would say when Jesus says, only believe, what do you believe in your heart? That is what's going to direct you. That is what the key to growing in Christ. And one of the things that has been most encouraging to me is that Scripture says that God is able, and He is the one that completes the good work that He has finished, started in me. He will finish it. I mean, guys, that's amazing for me. I declare it every day. You know what? I can't see every. I'm not perfect right now, but He is faithful to finish the work in me. And He's given me everything I need for life and godliness. And it's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. It's not Yaku in me. Praise the Lord, that's the hope of glory. It's Christ in me. Amen. Okay. Let's look at 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. From verse 2. Why are my scripture reference all messed up? Okay, from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. even in these few verses, guys, if you read that, you just walk out of it, it's like, yeah. Nothing can stop me. Look at this. Look at the promises that God has in the scripture for us. Divine nature. He's called us to be like Him. He's made us to be like Him. He's transforming us into the image of His Son daily. His kingdom is coming through us. As more and more you and I yield to Christ and yield to God in us, yield to Holy Spirit, He's doing it in us. He's making us. When Jesus says, follow me, I will make you. He didn't say, follow me, and if you study really hard, you might make it. No, He says, I will make you. I will do it in you. But you need to do the following. Amen. I'm encouraging myself here. Are you feeling encouraged? All right. Okay. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This, guys, I believe is what God has for us. The God of hope, that He will fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in Him, that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I believe God wants us to bring us to a place where we can overflow with hope. We Scripture says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's joy, it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness in Christ. Joy of the Lord is our strength, and the peace of God. And guys, this is the kingdom. This is what happened. This is if you're in the kingdom, if you were living life, it really looks much better on my screen, but anyway. If you're a citizen of the kingdom, then this is a normal for you and I. Righteousness, joy, and peace. If joy and peace, okay, righteousness we have in Christ, if joy and peace are not part of your daily life, then I want to pray for you. And you can pray for me. But the reality is what God has prepared for us is righteousness and joy and peace. And not only just a surviving, but a fullness of joy. He says here, with all joy and peace, as you trust in Him, that you may overflow. It's not like I'm just hanging on to this last little bit of hope. No, overflowing in hope, because I want to give it away. I want to give some away to those around me by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not my own making. I'm not psyching myself up in front of the mirror. I'm speaking the truth. You are godly. You are a great dad. You are an awesome whatever you are. You know, just speak the word. God has given you an abundance for every good work. Whatever you need, He's already provided. Let's stand this morning, afternoon. Okay, so there are a couple of questions. What are you allowing in your heart? What are the things that are filling your heart and your mind, that are coming out of your mouth? Are you allowing the enemy put in the negative stuff? Are you allowing him to have you focus on the stuff that is not yet there? I was thinking of farmers this morning. If you're a farmer and you've prepared the ground, you've been laboring for months. Okay, so they prepare the ground. It takes a long time. Then they prepare the seed. That takes the time as well. Then they sow the seed. Okay, and then it's like weeks down the line only maybe that you'll see like a little thingy like this. A little piece of leaf or a little shoot. You know what? If the farmer had to listen to the devil, he'd just get depressed, man. Because look at all the work he's done, and there's the only thing you can see is like this. But the farmer knows there's something happening. The same way, guys, God has put seeds of destiny in our hearts. He's the seed of the cross. It's the most powerful seed that you and I have received. The seed of the possibility that's in the cross. The fact that Christ not only died, but rose from the dead. So the question I'm asking is, what are you allowing in your heart? And what are you allowing out of your mouth? Because Jesus says, only believe. And that's, this morning I will say to us, God has given us the measure of faith to live a life like that. Say, God, I can't see it now, but you are my provider. I can't see it now, but you are my healer. I have been made whole through the wounds of Christ, the stripes of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Can't see it now. Maybe I'm experiencing pain. Maybe I'm in a heavy situation, but I will keep on prophesying life over the dead bones. I will keep on saying the truth. I will keep on declaring the word over this until I see it manifested. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word this morning. Lord, we give you all honor, Lord, and praise, God. God, and we come in the name of Jesus this morning. We confess, God. Often we allow the father of lies. We allow him to tell us nonsense, God. We allow him. We dwell on those things, God. And we repent now in the name of Jesus. We repent of every lie that we have received, every lie that we've believed, God. We repent in the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you that we can, we choose this morning to look away from the negativities, to look away from what we do not have, to look away from what is lacking, even in us as a body, as a family. Lord, we choose this morning to look towards what you have given us, God. We choose to look to what you are doing in our midst, and we choose to declare the truth of the word over ourselves, over your people, Father, over this nation, God. If we are to look at the evidence, at the facts of this nation, we just get depressed, God. But we know that you have a redemptive purpose for our nation. We know, God, that you have a glorious plan of redemption for this nation, God. We know, Father, that you've spoken so many prophecies, amazing prophecies of revival and of life and of souls being saved and of many millions coming to Christ. You've spoken the word over this nation. So this morning we choose, God, to believe your word. And we choose, God, to believe your promise in Scripture, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every heart. And if just as every eye is closed here this morning, I just want you to give you an opportunity that if you've been meditating on negative, dark stuff, if you've been meditating on death and destruction, if you've been focusing on heavy, heavy things, and you know, you're in a heavy place, you're in a dark place this morning, well, nobody is looking now, every eye is closed. I just want, even if you just need to just go from a glass half empty to a glass of half full kind of in your confession and what you're saying, then I just want you to take a moment just to bring that before God and say, Lord, I repent. This is not of you. This is a lie. I've been glorifying the lies of the devil. I've been focusing on this nonsense far too long. Just to repent of that thought, that kind of lifestyle. I'll just give you a moment just to do that. God, we thank you, Lord, that we just choose to cut that off now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the helmet of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that even protects our minds, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the breastplate of righteousness, God. We thank you for the belt of truth, God. Lord, we thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We thank you for the shield of faith, God. We thank you for the sandals, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, God. We thank you, God, that you've given us everything we need to be mighty, victorious in Christ, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to finish what you start in us. And right now, Lord, we choose, God, to receive your promise, God. Thank you, God, that every person here has been chosen. Every person here, Father, you've put your finger upon them. You've chosen them, so you are mine. I've bought you with a price. You are mine. Thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that everyone here, Lord, is a world changer, Father. That you've empowered them by your Spirit, as you did those 12 guys, those handful of guys that you took, and you empowered them by your Spirit. And those few turned into 120. And when they received the Holy Spirit, they turned the world upside down. I thank you, Lord, for the empowerment of your Spirit. Thank you that even your Scripture says, even when we're overflowing in hope, it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit in and through us, God. I thank you for your power at work in and through us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower your people in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Lord, that you fan the flame of hope and faith in every heart now, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that fear and despair and anxiety is out the window now. We command you to leave every heart now in Jesus' name. Thank you for the perfect love of God that casts out every fear in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for faith to rise in our hearts, God. Thank you for hope, new hope to rise in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Hope that is in you, God, that is an anchor for the soul, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for overflowing hope, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we will be the ones that will prophesy life, that prophesy breath over hopeless situations, over dead bones, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for an anointing this morning on your people to see what you are doing in every situation, Lord, that we will be the ones that say, you're going to make it. You're going to press through this thing. You're going to be overcoming in this thing in Jesus' name. We will be the ones that be prophesying. You're going to be healed in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Christ, you will be whole. Thank you, God, that you empower your people this morning, Father, to speak your word, not only over our situation, Lord, but over ourselves, God. Not only over our own families, God, but over the nations, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the power that you put in our tongue. But thank you also this morning that you shape, you refresh, Lord, the beliefs, Lord. And we choose this morning to commit, say, God, I want to align what I'm believing in my heart with what your truth says, God. You are the God, our healer. You are the God, our deliverer. You are the deliverer of this nation, God. You are the redemption of this nation and nobody else, God, in Jesus' name. We look to you, Father, and we choose this morning, say, God, help us, Lord, deliver us from wrong beliefs, God, and help us to believe and to live and to speak according to your word and your truth, God, in the name of Jesus. I just feel there are one or two people here this morning that have faced major discouragement and major hopeless situations. And it's as if you just can't get out of that hole. You just can't lift yourself out of that place. And yeah, I just feel this grace for us to just put our faith together for you this morning. So this is going to be a bit of a bold step, but if you want to just raise your hand where you are, I just feel God wants us to just pray together as a body this morning. I know it's going to be a bit of a challenge, but if that's you, if you've faced massive challenges and you just find yourself struggling to come out of that, just I feel this grace now. Just if you just want to lift your hand or just indicate to us, then we're just going to surround you now. Okay. Amen. So if you guys can just quickly look. If you guys want to lift your hands again, we're just going to lay hands on you now. So if you can just lay hands on the person that's closest to you, then we're going to just pray. Okay. Amen. So I just feel God. Let's take the grace, take the opportunities to prophesy life. Maybe you might not even know the situation, but just to speak life and to prophesy life and to just trust God and speak His purpose and His will over this, over the person. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you. the more we envelop ourselves in the Scripture, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. The more we envelop ourselves with Scripture, the more we envelop ourselves, the picture I got, I shared it last time, is that the person shared with me, it's just like a cocoon, like the caterpillar, you know, builds a cocoon around them, and then that's inside that cocoon is where that massive transformation takes place, and then out comes a beautiful butterfly. But that's like the picture of us as believers, in just cocooning ourselves in the presence of God, in the Word of God, in the truth of God. And the more we do that, that's where the transformation happens, guys. And it's not like I have to work hard. Just position yourself there. Amen. And the truth will do what it does. Amen. Amen. So if you need to just pray with you for that, please don't go and let, until somebody has prayed with you. Please join us in the front. Amen. God bless. Amen. If you're not going to receive ministry, please join us for some refreshments. Or whatever. If you have any other prayer need, guys, God has got a plan for you. Amen. He's got, I don't have the answer, but He has. Amen. There's grace for your situation. So please don't go unless somebody's prayed with you. Amen. God bless you.